It is my privilege and joy to be with you this morning. As Andy said, I'm Pastor Danielle Denise. I'm the Director for Evangelical Mission here in the North Carolina Synod. I live just down the road in Salisbury with my husband, Michael, and we have two little ones, an almost three-year-old Moses and a 16-month-old named Olive. If you can do the math, that means I had babies way too close together, but it's a little crazy. I do bring you greetings from Bishop Tim Smith on behalf of the North Carolina Synod as we walk together in this work. And just as a personal point of privilege, I have heard Bishop Smith say several times that he loved worshiping with you all because here he wasn't Bishop Smith, but he was Matt's dad. And it was a good reminder that he's not an event or some person on a pedestal, but a human being with a calling. And for many years, you gave him that gift. So I thank you for that. Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, our rock, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. Have you ever had one of those experiences and thought, seriously? I was pretty sure that Jesus meant that I wouldn't experience this. I mean, I was hopeful that being baptized and a churchgoer and doing mostly the right things meant that I was off the hook from hard things. Have you ever wondered that? Ever in a moment of doubt thought, man, how did I end up here? I imagine that that is exactly what John the Baptist thought in our verses we encounter in the gospel today. You see, when we met John the Baptist last week in our gospel text, he was baptizing, like his name said, pointing to Jesus, telling the whole world of Jesus's power. But this week, several chapters later, John's in prison. You heard me, in prison. John the Baptist, the one who God was using to prepare the way of the Lord. People prophesied about this guy, and he's the one in prison? I wondered if there was a moment when John thought, didn't being prophesied about, following Jesus, pointing to the Messiah, mean that I was going to live free from prison time? Whatever is in John's head or his emotional state, we don't know. And I'm not sure it's worth our wondering too much. This week, as I wrestled with our text, I was far more captivated by the question and the answer between John and Jesus with the jail cell looming in the background. John asks, are you the one to come, or should I expect somebody else? I mean, it's a bit of a head-turning question. John has spent his adult life saying, yes, Jesus is the one. And here he is in jail wondering. It's as if the darkness of the cell surrounding him is clouding his hope. So perhaps he just needs to hear it again, not from his own head or a book, but from the lips of Jesus. And so he asks, are you the one? And so John's disciples take that question to Jesus. He tells Jesus a deep longing. Are you the one? And that Jesus, he doesn't respond with some astute theological treatise about him. He doesn't even give a decisive yes. He simply says to John's disciples, tell John what you see and hear. Tell John what you see and hear. It's a fascinating response to the question of deep longing. When John or even us are asking, are you the one? We ask it with an all too human heart, hoping that Jesus will say yes and whip out a wand like Harry Potter and take on the evil in our world. But no such wand is waved. Jesus simply says, tell him what you see and hear. And so the disciples do just that. They return to John and they start to proclaim the blind can see and the lame can walk and the diseased are made clean and the deaf hear and the dead raised and the poor are hearing the good news of the gospel. I can almost picture them recounting the stories of transformation to John. Yes, John, they're walking, they're hearing, they're seeing. And it makes me wonder if in that moment, if John's whole perspective changed when he heard this testimony. Did John, who was covered in a cloud of doubt, begin thinking, yes, he is the one. I'm in prison, but God is still moving. It's amazing how this answer meets John's question of deep longing. And it struck me this week that maybe Jesus is hoping to meet our questions of longing with the same kind of answer. As I explained to the kids, and you're lucky that we had a children's sermon because I would have made y'all stand up and look at your belly buttons. But there's this Latin word for sin that literally means to be curved in on yourself. That sin is that you are quite literally looking at your own self more than the rest of the world. I think John's question comes after he's put in jail. He'd lived his whole life looking this way. And the circumstances of the day were causing him to curve in. And I think Jesus said, tell him the stories of transformation so that John's head could literally be taken back up, that he might see God at work in this world. But here's the thing, church. We don't have to be in a prison to be discouraged in our faith. We don't have to be locked up to wonder if following Jesus really means freedom. We don't have to dwell in the darkness of a cell to feel alone and doubting our God. If we're honest, it probably happens every time we turn on the news, or struggle to pay a bill, or say goodbye to a loved one that has taken their last breath. In full confession, I thought it last night. I told you that I have a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old, and I just have to confess to you that life with littles is exhausting. I mean, I said to my husband this morning, I'm really excited to go to church by myself. He didn't find that as fun as I thought it was. But yesterday we threw in a missed nap and a meltdown in the Hobby Lobby, and my 2-year-old saying, but I want it, but I want it, but I want it, and I was literally done. We piled into our dining table, eating whatever we could scrounge out of the fridge, and my feet were crunching on the crumbs from the snack that was dropped earlier in the day. And I just found myself saying, God, really, are you the one? Because I'm pretty sure you promised abundant life, and I am just exhausted. And then I could feel it in my heart, perhaps because I've spent all week with this text. I could feel it in my heart, the Spirit saying, Danielle, how about you see and hear what I am doing? And then in a moment, I thought about how yesterday morning we were at an ordination of a dear friend, and my 1-year-old and 2-year-old held hands all the way down the aisle to receive Jesus' special meal, as they call it. And in a moment, I remembered, not about me. And the gift of looking and seeing quite literally took my head not out of an exhausted place, but a self-centered one, to see God around us. I think God is using Advent to change our perspective. Perhaps that's why we need it so desperately, because we're too busy to see and hear, aren't we? We're too busy to tell each other the stories of the ways that God is showing up, and we're too consumed with ourselves and our circumstances to see God breaking in. Church, I'm not sure why you came here today. I'm not even sure if you have the same question as John. But I do know this. God is moving in our world. There are stories. There are lives being changed by the gospel. There is transformation happening. And church, perhaps we need to just look up from our belly buttons a bit more. No, probably a lot more. To be people who are seeing and hearing. To be people who are saying that there is hope showing up when hope has supposedly been lost. There are babies being born when death feels like it's all around. There are acts of kindness, signs of resistance, saying to the world that we will not settle for thinking for ourselves. There are songs and hymns being sung, even as weapons of war fight for the airspace. There are candles being lit to remind us that no darkness, not even the worst, can overcome the light of Jesus Christ. So, church, sounds kind of simple. I mean, I thought Jesus had it too simple, too. The invitation today is to look and listen. And when you're exhausted at your dinner table, thinking, is this it? Is this what following Jesus is really going to look like? If your heart is asking that question, are you the one? Remember Jesus' encouragement to look and listen. Because who knows? Maybe Jesus might take your tired heart and remind you with the story of two little kids holding hands. And in that very image, offer you a resounding yes. I am the one. Amen.